It's May, and we're celebrating our first full year of podcasting on history.org. We're pleased that you listen, and we appreciate your email. We're still doing what you seem to enjoy on Colonial Williamsburg, past and present, letting you meet behind the scenes the people who work here. That's my job. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and mostly I ask questions. This time, I'm asking David Nielsen, and he is a Colonial Williamsburg Historic Farmer Apprentice, and I have never heard that title before in my life. How do you get to be a Historic Farmer Apprentice, and what is it?
Well, it's a new one. There's never been one before. I'm the first. Historic Farmer Apprentice is essentially a program that was designed by several longtime historic farmers to formalize the education of what a historic farmer should be. So I've got about 100 or so different skills to learn about halfway through, everything from hoeing corn to selecting large trees in the woods and cutting them down without getting hurt.
Well, that would have certain skill, yes, but...
And animal health is another issue, livestock health. More complicated things than just digging in dirt.
Yeah, I was trying to think of, how much apprenticeship do you need to hoe corn?
It's level one, that's for sure.
Now, cutting down a large tree, yeah, because if you're standing in the wrong place, that can hurt.
Mm-hmm. Plowing with a horse or a team of horses, controlling them, making sure you know how the horse is feeling, those types of things are higher up. Yeah. And I'm still in the process of that.
How long will that take for you to learn the 100 necessary skills?
It's a five-level program, and when you complete the fifth level, you're considered a journeyman, tradesman in farming. And by then, I should have completed all. And you could take any amount of time to do it. If you were really good, you could do it in 3 or 4 years. If you're slow, you take your time, do it 5 or 6. I would think one level a year is appropriate. And I'm about that way myself. I started at the farm in 02, and it's 06 now, and I'm just at level 3 now. So I'm not rushing it.
Okay, now, I find it hard to believe that a boy grows up saying, boy, when I grow up, I want to be an historic farmer apprentice.
Well, I didn't say that. I did not want to be a historic farmer apprentice. But my grandfather was a farmer, and when he died, he really missed the farm. And we still have the land up in Illinois, and I've always wanted to get a hold of that land. It's several hundred acres, enough for a small farm. I don't think I'll be able to get it, so this is my way of carrying on the tradition. He carried on a tradition that his father had been through. It goes all the way back in the 1830s, 1840s, his farm. And sometime after World War II, my grandpa was advised to get out of farming because it was dying. And he tried working in the city, didn't like it, went back and worked the farm. And he just did an extra job even through the 20th century as a dump truck driver just so he could keep his farm. And so he cared about it that much. I'd have something to care about just as much as he did.
Why do you say that you're never going to get to it?
I don't think I'll ever come up with the money to retain it.
Oh.
And my grandma's probably going to need it to pay for her care as she gets older. So I don't expect to get it.
On the other hand, you could get land someplace else, although it's getting more and more difficult to find size lot.
Yeah. And what do you do with it? I mean, I've found that doing things with my hands, the old-fashioned way, slogging it out, it really is fun. Working with animals is more fun than working with a tractor. Tractors don't smell real good. I mean,
neither do horses. If you know.
Well, it's a grass-fed animal doesn't stink as bad as an oil-fed machine.
Okay, I'll take that. You said earlier that one of the things you had to learn plowing with horses was how the horse feels. Okay, for a city boy like me, what do? Walk up to the horse and say, "How do you feel?"
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. It won't speak in English, but you can pretty much tell by the way it reacts to you. You touch its shoulder, you look at it all over the place. One thing you know when you're working the animal, if it starts to cough or huff while you're having him pull, he's getting tired. Mm-hmm. And that means, hey, I'm getting tired. let's find a place to stop and rest. And when you hear that, you just, you know, you make sure he's doing his share, and you rest him in the shade. Mm-hmm. So, and once you establish that trust between you and the horse, you just pretty much know, you kind of know the animal.
How about the other animals? Are there other animals?
There's a team of oxen, and they're not the same as horses. They're, I don't want to say easier, because I get in trouble, but they don't require the same amount of communication, eye-to-eye contact, how you feeling. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to know what their health is. But you pretty much tell an ox what to do, and it does it or else. You ask the horse, and the horse will do it if you have a good rapport. Mm-hmm. And that's what the difference between oxen and horses.
Yeah, I've never heard it explained that way before. It's interesting that an oxen will just do it because he's told, but a horse has to be sort of invited.
Yeah.
Okay, would you like to do this today?
The tool you use with an ox is called a goad. You goad the animal. Mm-hmm. With it doesn't mean you have to hit him. You touch him with it. The horse, you use lines, lead lines. You just kind of come over this way, come over that way. But with the ox, you just kind of wave the goat around and say, get up. You know?
What else do you have to learn? I mean, it never occurred to me that somebody would have to learn hoeing.
Well, there is a little bit to it. It's mainly endurance, I think. Once you get the general idea of getting under the weed, flipping it upside down so that it dies, then you just have to be able to continue to do it. One of the first things I did as a historic farmer, like first day out, I was digging water furrows with a hoe. We didn't have the plow at that time. And I had to dig a trench, basically, with a hoe between two rows of corn. And I almost died the first pass through. But after a while, I could do them, you know, without thinking about it, without getting tired. So that's a big issue with hoeing. Raising hills to plant in, mainly an endurance thing. Once you get it, it's definitely not a science in and of itself. Maintaining the hoe, make sure the wedge stays in, make sure the tool handles right, and that it's cocked at the right angle is good.
Of course, you also have to do that because there's nobody to do that but the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to learn. You are learning that, or?
Well, I've got it down.
I've got it down now.
You got it. You get it down pretty quick.
What takes a while?
Like I said, the horses take a while. The animals, because they can be dangerous. You got to take care of their feet. You got to pick up their hooves and pick them out. You got to make sure that you got to break them back in the spring, because in the winter they're not out there a whole lot, because there's not a lot going on at the farm in the winter that people can see. Learning about woodworking, crude woodworking, hewing fence posts square, making tool handles for, say, your felling axe, those can take a little bit of time, a little bit of skill, because you don't get to do it every day. As a farmer, you know, the summer and the spring, it's all dirt, mm-hmm. and plants and animals, and in the fall and the winter, it's a little bit of dirt, a lot of more woodworking, fence building, construction type things, really simple stuff like fence pail splitting and such, so you just kind of switch back and forth between two different zones of skill, mm-hmm. and you have different muscles too. I mean, when I go to hew a fence post in October or November, I'm aching after the first few swings, mm-hmm. of the axe. But when I go to, say, start raising hills this April, I'm probably going to be sore in my gut and up my shoulders.
Okay, your grandfather was in Illinois, a farmer, and you thought that was kind of neat. How did you get to Williamsburg?
Well, my dad got a job transfer, 1990, to Florida, where all the business people wanted to be. And I missed the four seasons that we had in upstate Illinois. And when my grandpa died, because they left the farm around the same time, because he was having down kidney failure, they went down to Florida too. And by 5 years later, he was dead. So, and I had known him during that time. I had known him at the farm when he was able-bodied and he had to pick up, and we went around and, you know, looked at the soybeans and the cattle and stuff. When he died, he would, in his dementia, he would imagine himself back at the farm. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of adapted that, I guess. I thought, from the amount of stress that my dad was under at his job and the gentleness that my grandfather always exuded, I suppose, I just thought it would be the better life than going into business. Not much money in it, but I think you're happier overall. Mm-hmm. So
from Florida, you worked your way here?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Got up here. We went to Colonial Williamsburg shortly after moving down to Florida. I thought it was nice. I thought about it again as I graduated from high school. I was interested in history, of course. That's a given. And I thought, wow, I really don't like having to hold down a boring job unloading trucks or such while I try to get through college. I ought to get a job I can keep and try to get through college so that by the time I get out of college, I'll have something good on the resume anyhow. So I went up to Virginia and I applied for work at Williamsburg and got it after a couple months of slogging it out in a fish market down in Newport News and started working. I started in products, got to know the right people, made the right impression, I guess, on several folks. And when the interpretive positions came up for availability in 98, I applied and got one. And I wasn't very good, but by 2000, I was in some character work and started back in school. I guess that's it.
Well, Adam, when you start, you don't necessarily have to be very good at it.
Apparently not. They hired me.
Well, look at what you've learned.
Yeah, I learned a lot.
Now, you are now the leading historic farmer interpreter. Well, not necessarily, but you're working your way up toward it.
I work with two very, very strong masters of that arena, and they've got 20 years experience apiece, so I'm really lucky in that regard to have them teaching me. Mm-hmm. And they both have different sets of skills. One guy knows everything about the history of farming, everything about how much a slave was supposed to be able to do in a day, and the other guy knows everything about the practical working animals and doing certain types of tasks.
Do you have to know the history too?
Yeah, we've got plenty of research behind us, lots of reading. We do, we write a few pieces on, you know, if you need to know something about corn, I can whip you out a page on corn. That's pretty quick, you know.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time. Check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.